Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're continuing part three today of The Secret of How to Defend Your Mind. And we just have a little bit more of that to do, and then after that we're going to start a new piece of literature that the Lord gave me a few years ago entitled Accepting the Discipline of the Holy Spirit. We have a couple of letters, and right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this service outwardly so that we'll be anointed inwardly. Father, You gave me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had the Spirit of You in me. Just as the disciples, You blew the Holy Spirit into them. You said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And then You told them to later assemble themselves in the upper room where they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which would give them the power to be in the ministry. You were begotten by the Holy Spirit. And after John the Baptist baptized You in the water, upon Your coming out of the water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came down upon You in the shape of a dove. And we pray, Lord, that You'll, with that Holy Spirit, anoint me with every word that You want to be uttered on this program this evening or this morning or this afternoon, whenever it is that people are listening. Lord, that the church, the body of Christ, be strengthened to be able to endure the tribulations, because it's for sure many of the church will go through the tribulations. You told us that after the tribulations, immediately after the tribulations, You're going to come back to get the church. And You want us to be strong through the tribulations. Just as the people of Your people were strong in the time of Egypt when You were pouring out Your wrath on Egypt, You didn't harm one hair on their head, and You will not harm a hair of anyone of Your children's head during the time of the tribulations. However, it's going to be a fearsome thing to see all the wrath that's being poured out on the wicked. We know that right now, in the book of Revelation, it tells how that some of the curses would be the pale horse, which that the beasts of the field would be bringing forth death to around one-fourth of the population of the earth. And we see that hog meat is causing all kinds of problems with people who are catching disease, even the mad cow disease and the bird flu and all the other different diseases that have come from monkeys and parrots and parakeets. And the beasts of the field are certainly destroying many millions of people, and it's going to get worse. Lord, strengthen the church and let millions, even billions of souls be saved. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where is the first letter from?
From Vandalia, Missouri.
Okay, that's a women's prison, right?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I am writing to thank you so much for the newsletters you sent to me. I read them all and passed them on to other women in this prison. I learned a lot from your newsletters. I have now turned my life and my will over to the care of God. You have given me hope, and you opened my eyes to the true meaning of God. I also want to thank you for your donation that I received. I was able to get stamps and paper and personal things I needed. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I would love to get to know your ministry a lot more. I would love, when I get out of prison, to come and visit your church. I was wondering if I could get some more newsletters so I can keep passing them around in this prison. I want the letters to help others that don't know Christ, like they helped me. I am so excited about having Jesus in my life. I know now, with Him beside me, I can get through anything. Once I leave this prison, I'm starting a brand new life, out in that big scary world out there alone with my beautiful girls. I'm scared, but now have faith that I can make it with Jesus by my side. I want to thank you and your ministries again for your donation. I have no one except myself, my beautiful girls, and now Jesus in my life. God bless you, and again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Happy late Thanksgiving, and hope you all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. God bless you, and thank you so much. P.S. Now that I have accepted Jesus into my life, I don't feel lonely and scared anymore. And when I do, I just pray, and it all goes away. God bless you, and thank you so much, April.
Praise the Lord. You also have the body of Christ. We have churches all over the world, and maybe one day you'll feel that you want to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you could move into one of the facilities, and that way you would for sure have many friends, and it's a very warm and wonderful place to live. It's in the body, in the temple of the Lord, where the people of the Lord gather together. We're a minority, and we need each other very much. Okay, now where's the next letter from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Lamo, greetings in the name of Jesus. I pray that this letter will find you blessed and prospering in the power of God. This Tony Lamo Christian Ministries World Newsletter is greatly changing lives in my town, Mansa. Pastor, I would like to thank you for the materials you are sending me. May the God of our Lord Jesus bless you abundantly through all His riches. I am very much happy after reading through your book entitled The Messiah and the other literature. Pastor, I promise to become a soul winner. There is a big village here in Mansa they call Sinema's Village. It is just like Sodom. Pastor, please assist me to start a church. So far, I have 19 members, including my wife and 5 house members. I am requesting for Bibles, books, magazines, God's messages on tape, and more literature to help me go in the fields and meet the people of Sinema's Village. I would like to request materials for Bible study songs on tapes, and I am talented to act in films. Best regards in the name of Jesus Christ, Arnold, from Mansa, Luapula Province, Zambia, Africa.
All right. We see this occurring throughout the entire world. Now, let's finish off the secret of how to defend your mind. That's one important thing. After we're saved, we need to learn how to stay saved, because only those that continue to the end shall be saved. And it's a horrible thing when people have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and then they fall away back into the world. The Lord became us, in other words, sin or serpents. We all are serpents before we get saved. But Jesus became the great serpent and hung on the cross. This is was symbolized in the Old Testament with the prophet Moses. And whenever people would look on the serpent, the serpents that were biting and killing many of them in a battle would not bite them any longer, and they wouldn't die. So, because of sin, we technically were serpents and had to die the life of a serpent. But because Jesus became the serpent for us, when we asked Christ and He died on the cross and shed His precious blood, He was never a serpent. He was never committed a sin. Because of us believing what the serpent, the devil, said, and the whole world, the Bible says, is deceived by the serpent, the devil, that great red dragon, that serpent, the devil. Well, Christ knew that He saw that we were all serpents and on our way to hell. And the law accused us and stated that we have to die. But the Lord went to the law, His own law, which cannot be broken. and told the law, what if I sacrifice myself for all these little serpents here, so that if they believe me rather than the serpent, then I, by the Spirit, with the Father, will enter into their bodies, and they will no longer be serpents, but they'll be the sons of God. And that's exactly what does happen when... So Christ became the serpent and died on the cross and shed his precious blood, as we were supposed to do by shedding our wicked blood, we've sinned, and he never did. And then he went to hell for us for 3 days and three nights. But he showed us that he was able to conquer the devil, the great serpent, and all of his little serpents by raising out of hell. No one, after they go to hell and the lake of fire, can get out of there. There's no exits. But because he is God, he was able to conquer death, hell, and the grave. And when he went 40 days later, after rising from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and over 500 people saw him ascending into the heaven in a cloud. And then he became the life-giving Spirit. When we call upon him, his Spirit, his powerful Spirit, because all power in heaven and earth belongs to him, and enters into us, because all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And his powerful Spirit, the Spirit of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, enters us, and we are then able to keep all the commandments of the Lord. So he washes all the sin away, and we no longer are sinners. We're no longer serpents. And we are now the sons of God. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. But the Bible tells us that if after we have known the Lord, and we know his power, and we know and have tasted the good word, and know the kingdom of God, and then we want to be serpents again, that is, to sin again, then we fall under the law again. We become serpents again, and there remains no longer, there remains no more sacrifice for us. Christ was the only sacrifice that could possibly save us from being serpents. And so after we decide to live the life of sin again, and we become serpents. The Bible states that there's no more forgiveness. There's no more sacrifice for us. Jesus said, I am he who was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. I'm not going to, once you decide to become a son of God, and then you decide to become a serpent again, fall under the condemnation of the law, the penalty of the law. Well, then there's no more sacrifice or no more forgiveness for you. So that is plainly stated in the Bible, and I'm going to be reading a piece of literature that, or have someone read it for me that I've written, called The Pope's Secrets. And this is all explained in that piece of literature. God says he'll never... The Lord says he'll never leave or forsake us. But what happens when we decide to leave being a son of God? We leave Christ. He doesn't leave. We leave him, and therefore we no longer are his. We become a member of the Antichrist movement. We become serpents, as sons of the serpent. The Spirit of God that once lived on us after we became the sons of God now has gone, because we left it and we now came to Satan, and we've allowed him to live in our bodies. Once the Spirit of God lived with our spirit in our body, which is the temple of God. There is no temple of God that is built by man these days. The temple of God is your own body. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that you don't belong to yourself. But once you go back into a life of sin, then the law falls back on you. It condemns you again. because the law never goes away until you accept Christ. But once you leave Christ, you've left him. You can't accuse him of leaving and forsaking you. You've left and forsaken him. And there remains no more sacrifice for you, because he's not going to come and die for you again. And therefore, that's why it's important for us to study the Word and do everything he says, because by faith in the Word of God we're saved, and by doubt we're damned. And this is all mentioned in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, where the Apostle Paul states that you people are worried about the Lord coming back real soon now. But he's not going to come back until there's a falling away of the church, a great falling away. And this has happened already. We can see people that have allowed Satan to re-enter the body. The demon that was cast out of them has come back and found that it's not doing, it's cleaned and garnished, and that it's unoccupied. The Lord isn't there anymore. And so he takes seven, he brings himself in and brings seven more devils, even worse and more evil than him. And that's why many people that say they're Christians are more evil than they ever were in their life before, when they only had one demon. I mean, they become homosexual. They start believing that homosexuality is fine. They start believing that lesbianism is okay, that pornography is fine, adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, coveting, being involved in every ungodly, worldly thing. There's so much corruption. I'm serpents again. And they think that you hear these preachers saying that God loves you unconditionally, and then after you've said the prayer and Christ enters into you, even if you fall away, that you're still the righteousness of God. No, you're not. You must get, if you can get back to God, do it, because if there's no more forgiveness for you, then there's only the fearful waiting for your death in the time of judgment. And we're all going to, whether you like it or not, you're going to stand judgment, or you're going to be before the mercy seat of Christ. And with all the different perils in this world today, no one knows that they're going to live another day. So it really makes sense, real good sense, for you to surrender yourself completely to the Word of God. But some people say, well, I've corrupted myself so much that I don't know if I can ever get back to the Lord. If you did it ignorantly, then the Bible says that he will forgive sins that you committed that were done in ignorance. And you can get back to the Lord. And once his powerful Spirit enters you, once he cleanses you of your sins, and once his powerful Spirit enters into you, don't ever leave it again. Don't fall away. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear this ministry. It isn't the most popular for this message. This isn't the most popular message in the world, yet it is the truth. And that's why so many people hate God, and those that preach it truly, is because, and they're even going to send presents one to another when the two witnesses come on the scene, and Satan raises up some of his people, that is, people that have become the body of Antichrist. Once you fall away from the Lord, you become the body of Antichrist. You actually start attacking the people of Christ. You attack Christ. You don't want to hear his name in courtrooms or in the schools. You don't want your children reading his word. You're Antichrist. You're controlled by Satan. The Bible says that Satan will be cast down to earth in these last days, and that he knows that his time is short, and so he's full of wrath against God, and he makes war against God and God's people. And so you can see that happening right now. And you see the big falling away. Satan has entered in. People have surrendered their lives over to Satan again. Because they're not. If you're not doing what the Lord is telling you to do, then you have become Antichrist. You become a servant or a son of Satan or the serpent. Now, Christ became the serpent for us. He shed his precious blood, he who had never sinned. And only Christ can take away sin and give us power. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to the Lord. And no one else was the only begotten Son of the living God, and so we all must become members of his corporate body. But we see now a corporate body of Satan on earth. This is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not one person. When you leave Christ, Christ doesn't leave you, but he will leave you. I mean, he just vanishes. It's like the Spirit of God left King Saul, and also the Spirit of God left Samson, and he wist it not. He didn't even know that the Lord wasn't with him any longer. But listen, if you have sinned ignorantly, don't tarry any longer. Do your best to get back to the Lord. If you say, there's no hope for me, well, that's your decision. That's your call. But the Bible, if you believe the Bible says if you did it, the Word of God says if you sinned in ignorance, you can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, if you have just thumbed your nose at God and trampled his blood underfoot and thought it to be an unholy thing, you're going to hell. And God and I want you to know that. I'm not one of these kind of false preachers that are going to lick your wounds or try to encourage you if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The Lord said there's no forgiveness for that on this side of eternity or on the other side of eternity, in this world or in the world to come. So be careful. It's for sure we're all going to stand before God, and there's no way you or I can get out of that. So it behooves you to fear God and keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. I mean, fear the word of God enough to keep it, to do what it says. And if you believe the word of God, Jesus said just before he went up into the kingdom of heaven, he says, go unto all the nations of the world and preach this gospel. Those who believe shall be saved, and those that doubt shall be damned. And the Lord states in the second chapter of Revelation through the Apostle Paul that those that love the word of God, that have not the love of God in them, God will send them strong delusion to make them believe a lie, so that their souls might be damned, because they had not the love of the word of God. They didn't love truth. They loved the satanic lie of Satan, as Eve did in the garden, which caused her soul to fall away, and all of mankind to have the Adamic sin on their soul. And Satan is telling you the same dirty, filthy lie today, that you can sin, thou shalt not die, thou shalt not go to hell. God loves you, brother. God loves you, sister. You're the righteousness of God, even if you sin. This is the same lie that this demonic creature told Eve. Believe it and go to hell. Believe the word of God and spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven and have his blessings here on this earth. All right, let's get into the secret of how to defend your mind. Why do we want to defend our mind? We want to defend our mind from receiving the filthy lies of these false prophets that appear as angels of light, just as Satan appeared as an angel of light to Eve. They preach these smooth things, but remember, the Bible says he that sinneth is of the devil, and it's for sure there's no devil that's going to enter the kingdom of God. So fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the entire duty of man. All right? Okay, so, and that's why we want to defend our mind, we want to defend our souls. And how do we do that? We put on the whole armor of God, which means the entire Word of God. You have to put on the entire Word of God. You got to know it. so that there's none of these false preachers can tell you, thou shalt not die, go ahead and sin. None of us are perfect, when the Bible plainly says that if we're walking in the Spirit of God, we are perfect. So either you must believe God or Satan. Again, Jesus said, those that believe me are saved, and those that believe the whole word of God, they are saved, and those that doubt any of my word, you're damned. Okay, now let's get into how to defend your mind. The secret, that's the secret of how to do that. And that secret is just simply take on the whole word of God and keep it there going every day. Then what? Go ahead.
How do we break the devil's hold on our minds? How do you get God's will to be your life? We have to begin doing God's will. We must turn completely away from our wicked and evil thinking and ways. The original meaning of repentance or conversion is to have, quote, a change of mind, unquote. Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, unquote. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. But if your spirit and your mind continues to reject God's words that would save you, and if you desire to continue receiving the false, smooth sayings of the evil spirits, there will not be any help for you from Christ with the Father and the Holy Spirit. In these last days, the evil spirits of the devil are busily presenting many false teachings to the minds of men. These false teachings must be pulled down and cast far away from the heads of the believers.
These are what the Word of God calls seducing spirits. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
We must turn completely to Christ and totally away from our own former lifestyles. How do we then break this spirit that has our minds, souls, spirits, and bodies in bondage? Again, the Lord says, quote, turn unto me, my word, unquote, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 9. Confess, quote, only acknowledge thine iniquity, unquote.
In other words, your sins. Admit that you're sinners, because everyone has the Adamic sin on their soul. And everyone, after they reach the age of accountability, has sinned. Now, if a baby dies, you know, you hear these different religions say, well, especially Roman Catholicism, they'll tell you, if you pay so much money, we can buy your loved one, your little baby, out of purgatory, because they weren't baptized before they died. This is satanic doctrine, just to get money out of you. The Bible tells us that where there's no law, there's no transgression. When a little baby hasn't even reached the age of accountability, where they've never really willfully sinned at all, they're in heaven immediately. So stop paying for your child to get out of purgatory, because there's no such thing. There are two other worlds other than the one we know, the one we live in. One is heaven and the other one is hell. And there's no purgatory, there's no in-between. We're going to either heaven or hell. Your child, if it dies before it sinned, well, it's just a little child, if it's stillborn, or if it is, if it's born dead, or if it dies before age 2 or 3, or before it's ever sinned or lied or anything like that, that baby's right in the kingdom of heaven, so rejoice. That child is in a better place than you and I are right now. All right, then go ahead.
Quote, only acknowledge thine iniquity, unquote, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13, and acknowledge that you let Satan possess your mind and use it for one of his strongholds. Christ with his Father...
And or for many of his strongholds as well. You let Satan use your mind. You know, in other words, the Lord gives us all a will, but he allows us to use our will the way we want to will it. Now, we'll either allow the Lord to swallow up our will to be his will, or we'll allow Satan to swallow up our will to be his will. There's no in-between with that. We have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, or controlled by the satanic spirit. There's no middle ground whatsoever with it. to say, well, I don't want to get saved today is the same thing as saying I still want to be a satanic. I want to be led by Satan. In which case, your soul is damned right now, and if the breath goes out of your body, you're going to be in hell in the lake of fire forever. So consider these things and repent quickly before it's too late. Then what?
Christ with his Father and the Spirit state, quote, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
Right. You see this lady in Bendilia prison. She's a new creature now. She's a daughter of the Lord. And she has perfect peace now whenever she gets lonesome or anything like that. Or she feels tempted. She just knows that the Lord is with her. And that's more important to her than having all the money in the world. It doesn't even matter to her if she's got the Lord that she's in prison. She's a free woman. Amen?
Amen.
She's more free than a person that's outside of prison and living on, on Park Avenue in New York City or in Beverly Hills or Bel Air. That is completely possessed with the devil. They're way better off than people like that. She is. And anyone that has the Lord is better off than kings and presidents and anybody, any dignity, a dignitary, that because they're sons and daughters of the Most High God. So if you want perfect peace and a sound mind in this world that's full of turmoil and uncertainty, because you don't know when you're going to die, and if you're there, you've got sin on your soul, you've got to know subconsciously or consciously that you're going to hell if you die. So don't walk around this earth with that on your soul, on your mind any longer. Get saved. Ask for the Lord to enter into you and keep your mind stayed upon him to have perfect peace and a sound mind. Okay, continue, please.
Quote, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Then I, with my life and power, shall be your life and power, and will save you. Unquote. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. When people allow the devil to control their thinking for long periods of time, their hearts, minds, and spirits become as hardened as Pharaoh's were, and they no longer have any desire to turn toward God. Their mind, their hearts, and their spirits are hardened against God. Because of their passiveness, their lukewarmness, they become weary in well-doing, weary of casting away the devil's advances towards them. Conditions. God said, quote, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, unquote. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
When you hear these programs, you're getting knowledge, and so you won't have any lack of knowledge, because knowledge now is... the knowledge of God is now being revealed in bushels and all over the world through our broadcast, for sure.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
My broadcast. Then what?
We are destroyed if we do not know and understand God's Word. Many people lack the knowledge of the conditions through which evil spirits work and the knowledge of the principle of spiritual life. If we are ignorant to these, we are giving Satan and his evil spirits a tremendous advantage and allowing them to bring great harm to the true church of God, Christ's body. We must spiritually war against all this. We must put on the full armor of God. We must pray. We must learn spiritual warfare.
Yes, we must communicate with the Lord. Praying means that you're asking the Lord, when do I go out? What am I supposed to do today, Lord? What am I supposed to read? And if you're not communicating to him, then he's not going to communicate back to you. If you've got some kind of trouble, he says, call on me, and I'll take care of it. But if you don't ask, you won't receive, he says. Amen?
Amen.
You have not because you ask not. And when you ask, you don't ask, and certainly you ask amiss. You ask without faith. But if you ask with faith, for instance, prayer, there isn't anybody that believes the Word of God that I pray with them and they pray and we both believe together that I've ever seen that never got healed. They all get healed. Okay, and that means if you have any kind of pain in your body, you'll notice this immediately. Just know that the Lord has already healed you. He said, by my stripes you were healed. It's already happened. And just receive that as a true fact. and so that your soul isn't damned, and receive your healing, that all the pain is gone. Isn't that something that's happened right now? I can tell, you know, that it's happened. Every time I pray for somebody like that, it's gone. Even unsaved people, when I pray for them, they have migraine headaches, and it goes away. And they say, how did you do that? And I said, I did not do that. I pray to them, unsaved people, Lord, to show them that I'm a man of God. Take all the pain away from them right now, and don't let it come back again. There's a man that I met. I was in prison for the gospel, false charges, IRS situation. And I saw him going down the hall, and the Lord told me to go over there. And he had his hand on his head, and he had a horrible look on his face. And I said, what's the matter? He said, I've got this migraine headache. I said, if I pray for you, it'll go away immediately. You want me to pray for you? He said, yes. Well, so I did, and he said, it's gone. And it's never come back since. This was about 10 or 11 or years ago, however long I've been out of prison, about a year before that. And now he's in our church, and he said, the boldness that you had while you were in prison, different people that you stood up, the gangs and everything, and even the people that were false prophets in the prison, such as a couple of captains over there, he says, you rebuked them, and I was there the night that you did it. He said, that showed me that you were definitely a man of the Lord because you stood on the Word of God. Okay, now go ahead.
I think by now everyone knows to read and pray. Now, what we must do is, quote, read and pray, unquote. To know how to wage war is not enough. We must actually...
Spiritual war I'm talking about here. Okay, then what?
We must actually wage war, but we must war lawfully. That is, according to the Word of God, which means with the Word of God.
Well, because we're on the defensive all the time, because Satan is constantly attacking us. In our stance at waging war is the defense of our mind, and the defense of our soul, and the defense of the souls of everyone in the world. That's why I am definitely attempting to, and I'm doing it, to win souls all over the world. And because I know that if I preach not this gospel, as the Apostle Paul said, I too will become a castaway. I'll be in hell. The Lord has given me a tremendous gift of knowledge in how to write and how to preach, and it isn't anything that I had before. He gave it to me, and so therefore all the glory goes to God. But woe be unto me if I don't pass these things on to you and every person that I can in the world. That's why I preach on radio, and I write gospel literature, and the people that are in this church, many of them go out on the streets and distribute literature, and they do it all over the world, in Africa, India, Philippines, the Ivory Coast, Australia, France, Italy, Germany, Hong Kong, China, everywhere. People are distributing this literature because it's written in many languages. Then what else?
Quote, no man that warreth spiritually entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier, a spiritual soldier of God. And if a man also strive for masteries of spiritual warfare, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully, unquote. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Again, we must read, pray, and wage war lawfully, using only God's word to fight against the enemy.
And we must do that every day. If you don't read daily and pray daily, then you run out of spiritual gas. You lose your power, and you're leaving yourself wide open for an attack of Satan, a way for him to shoot one of his fiery darts at your mind. And first it is received into the mind, then it goes into the heart. And when it's conceived in the heart, then a person is eventually going to sin, and after sin comes death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. He that sinneth is of the devil, and no sin shall enter the kingdom of heaven. whatever state you're in at the time that you die is the state you'll be at the judgment bar of God. You're not going to be changed from a devil into an angel in a twinkling of an eye. You must live a godly life, and the only way to do it is to read and pray on a daily basis. And this is the way that you fight Satan, is to, and when God opens the door for you to witness, you don't hold back. You don't become ashamed of God or Christ, who is God. If you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you at the judgment bar of God before his Father and the holy angels. Then what?
Again, we must read, pray, and wage war lawfully, using only God's word to fight against the enemy in order to have victory over the enemy. This is the lawful way to spiritually fight and have victory over the devil and his evil spirits. We must lawfully wage war in the Spirit by reading, praying, and letting the entire triune God live, preach, and teach his mighty word in and through us. The Lord, the Word, does the fighting for us. If we will use the word to wage war, the Lord will be in the war with us. Begin learning and doing all these things now by receiving the life and power of God in you. Receive your salvation. Receive Christ with his Father by the Spirit to live and work in you now by saying this prayer.
All right, those of you that want to say that prayer, if you're driving a car, park it somewhere. And because I'm going to have you raise your hands after you feel the Spirit of God enter into your body. It's not a fearful thing. I'm not preaching death here. What's going to happen to you is you're going to become alive, and alive forevermore. The Spirit of everlasting life is going to enter into you. And, you know, some people think, oh, my God, this is a preacher of death. We're the last people that preach death. We preach life and life more abundantly unto you. So if your car is parked now, and those of you that are doing whatever you're doing, stop doing what you're doing now and say this prayer and mean it to God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Say to the Lord now, my Lord and my God, say it, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And right now, Lord, I thank and praise you. I praise you for becoming the serpent instead of me, and you now are alive forevermore, and I'm not a serpent anymore, and I'm not condemned by the law anymore, so long as I continue on keeping your word to the end. Now I just raise my hands up to you, Lord, and praise you, and I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank and praise you for saving my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now you know there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I spoke about earlier in the program, where you can yeah, just keep reading and praying the Bible. If you have any Bible questions, or if anyone tells you there's discrepancies in the Bible, just tell me what they say, and I'll show you where there is no discrepancies. It's just their it's their misunderstanding of the Bible, or they're just one of Satan's Antichrist army trying to discourage you. Remember also that the people of your own household will become your enemies. The Bible says the enemies of you, your enemies, shall be those of your own household. I know when I first got saved, oh, I had everybody in my family trying to discourage me, and all my friends tried to discourage me, and I didn't even want to listen to them, but I did just to see if any one of them had a convincing story, but they didn't, because the Word of God was far more convincing to me, and the Spirit of God in me and the experience that I had with the Lord actually speaking to me audibly and pulling the breath in and out of my body and showing me visions of heaven and hell, that was too far too strong for anyone to be able to sway me from serving the Lord. This all happened around 41 years ago. Well, anyway, now we're going to get started on accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a good thing for you to know right at the beginning of your salvation. So let's start that right away. We've only got about 9 more minutes, but this is going to be a precious 9 minutes for you. Go ahead.
God came to the world as a man, a human with the Spirit of the Triune God in him. Even though he was God, he was also God incarnate, a man, human flesh like you and I. Because of his humanness, his fleshiness, he had to discipline himself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the man who was also God, never sinned. He was able to keep himself from sinning every day of his life because he willingly submitted himself unto the discipline of the Holy Spirit, both inwardly and outwardly, every day of his life. By God's Spirit living in us, and by our keeping our will the same as Christ's, we can do the same thing, that is, we too can live a sinless life. In the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of God, the entire world is undisciplined, self-willed, and devilish. People make up their own rules and live in darkness. Because they are deceived by the devil, they are not willing to submit themselves to the discipline of the Holy Spirit. The people of the world are becoming more undisciplined, more insane, more mad, and more ungodly every day. They ignore the good and precious discipline of God more and more each day. Because of this, God is currently disciplining the entire world with plagues such as earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, typhoons, hurricanes, famines, pestilence, new and incurable diseases in epidemic proportions, and much more. As the people of the world become more ungodly and undisciplined, God promises to discipline them with more plagues than he did in the land of Egypt during the time of Moses. God's word tells us that it is him, not Mother Nature, who is disciplining the ungodly people of the world. The term, quote, Mother Nature, unquote, is a heathen, idolatrous, satanic term, a myth. No such term as, quote, Mother Nature, unquote, can be found in God's word. God created nature, not a, quote, Mother Nature, unquote. In short, there is no such thing as, quote, Mother Nature, unquote. God brags that he is the one who will discipline the world of ungodly people because they refuse to honor him by first studying his word, then by disciplining themselves to receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit, which is the same as reading God's word and disciplining themselves to do exactly what it says, so that God can do mighty works both in them and through them, just as he did both in and through the human body of Christ, who again is God incarnate. We who are born again of the Spirit are the continuation of the Triune God's incarnation. What is the meaning of being disciplined by the Holy Spirit? Quote, the Word of God, unquote, is, quote, the Holy Spirit, unquote. And to discipline ourselves to do what the Word of God, what the Word says, is the same as receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit. It must be our will to discipline ourselves to do God's will. Of course, we will never do this unless we are first born again of the Holy Spirit. And our becoming born again of the Holy Spirit will never happen unless we begin fearing the Lord enough to begin disciplining ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. God commands that we confess our sins and forsake them. Then, by God's power living in us by the Holy Spirit, he promises we will be able to live the same life as Christ did, not an imitation of Christ's life, but the exact life of Christ. Actors imitate, but Christians have God's life and let him live it in them. If you let Christ live his life in you, he will separate you from every plague and every curse. God disciplined 3.5 million of his chosen people in the desert for 40 years because of their unwillingness to discipline themselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Even after seeing God's mighty power turn Egypt upside down, after seeing God open the Red Sea for all Israel to walk through on dry land, and after seeing him destroy the entire Egyptian army, they preferred being undisciplined. They were more afraid of giants than of God. Later, God drove the giants out of the Promised Land with tiny insects, hornets. Because of the people of Israel's unwillingness to discipline themselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, God disciplined them outwardly by making them wander in circles on the hot desert for 40 years until most of them dropped dead. Only those who, quote, did cleave unto the Lord their God were alive, every one of them, that day, unquote, when with Joshua and Caleb, they crossed the River Jordan on dry land into the Promised Land. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 4. No one can run or hide from God, from his discipline, or from his judgment. It is written, quote, though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Mount Carmel, located in Haifa, Israel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. Unquote. Amos chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. If we receive the Lord's discipline, we will receive great reward and blessing. However, if we refuse, God warns us, quote, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Unquote. Psalms chapter 50, verse 22. This truthful message from the very mouth of God is quite different than most of the messages you hear being preached from pulpits today, but this is the real truth from God's holy, infallible word, the Bible. We live in perilous, dangerous times, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. In the last days, the Bible says, quote, the love of many shall wax cold, unquote, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Quote, men shall be lovers of their own selves, unquote, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, and love their own undisciplined, worldly, devilish ways more than the word of God and God's way. We must willingly discipline ourselves to obey the word of God if we are to spiritually prosper on earth and in heaven eternally. For us, receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit is the very law of God for our eternal life. If we discipline ourselves to receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit, we shall surely live eternally. The life we must live to attain eternal life for ourselves is a life of self-discipline, a life of purposely doing the will of God. This life of self-discipline and doing God's will so we might gain and retain His life is thoroughly detailed throughout the Bible. Unless we begin disciplining ourselves to do the things God tells us to do in His Word, we shall almost certainly spend eternity in the lake of fire prepared by God for the devil, for his rebellious evil angels, and for all the others who live unrestrained, undisciplined, unregenerated lives.
If you ask for this piece of literature, you'll see that there are literally hundreds of scriptures to back up everything that I'm saying so that you can look them up in the Bible. All my literature has hundreds of scriptures from the Bible to back up every word I'm saying. It's not me that's saying it. It's the word of God. Then what?
Career discipline. People willingly discipline themselves to be sports professionals of every type, as well as musicians, singers, actors, dancers, politicians, doctors, and lawyers. They discipline themselves for hundreds of other careers so they might excel in this present world, which has no future because it is condemned by God to burn. We are without a doubt at the end of time. Quote, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, unquote, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Yet people pay little or no attention at all to willfully disciplining themselves to do what the Word of God tells them so that they might spend an eternity in a cozy, comfortable, pain and harassment-free heaven where there is no devil, no death, no aging, no sickness, no disease, no separation from loved ones, no plagues, no pestilence, no famines, no annoyance of any kind, no thief, no moth, and no rust.
This is one of the things that the Lord showed me when he gave me a taste of what hell is like. I saw the flicker of this fireplace. There was like the fires of hell. I could see the shadows of the flames on a big brick wall. It was made out of like purple and dark black bricks, and I could hear the people in hell moaning and groaning. People that were real cosmopolitan, you know, they were New Yorkers, you know, and people that just lived high and mighty on the earth. And they were saying, I could hear them saying, "Oh my God, oh my God, it was true. How sorry. Oh, why did we not believe it?" And they were just like a moaning and saying, "Oh God, we're here forever. We know we're here forever. This, we're never going to get out of here." And it was like they were moaning and screaming and such sorrow. I've never heard anything like that in my life. And the Lord showed that to me. And here these people thought themselves to be so chic, and they saw the latest movie, and they went to so-and-so place. They're going to Vegas, they're going to Europe, they're going to pack their trunks up, and they're just into all kinds, going to the country club and all this. And here they are in hell now. And they're there right now, the ones that the Lord showed me. Millions of moaning and gross souls down there. Okay, let's continue on.
Quote, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him," unquote. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 states, quote, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him," unquote. In other words, for us to know Christ, he must be living and working in us. If he is not, it is impossible for us to know him and keep his commandments. If he is in us, we certainly know him and are keeping his commandments. Therefore, those people who say they are Christians and do not keep his commandments are liars, because they don't know him, he's not in them, and no one in the world can see the evidence of them disciplining themselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. They don't belong to the Lord, because he is not in them to do his work. They are liars, and the truth, which is Christ, is not in them. The men in the armed forces of nations are highly commended for defending their temporal worldly countries. How much more highly commended are the children of God who defend their own spirits by willingly submitting themselves to keeping the commandments of the Word of God, which is God, or, in other words, by willingly submitting themselves to the discipline of the Holy Spirit, so they might not enter another temporal country, but instead enter a heavenly, everlasting country. All tears shall be wiped away, and there are no frustrations of any kind.
Praise the Lord. Well, I see our time is up, and we're going to continue with part two of accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit tomorrow. So be sure to tune in. This is a very, very important piece of literature from the Bible, and you're going to be happy when you hear it. Until then, this is our world pastor, Tony Alamo. And make sure you read that Bible and pray, and stay a hold of the Lord. Just communicate with him, and he'll communicate back to you and with you. God bless you, and until tomorrow, praise the Lord. Keep praising him, because he inhabits the praises of the saints. Amen.